Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Your feet tonight, I want for you to diligently take a look at the things that you are contending with. And as you do all of that, I would want for you to look at the things that your capacity can handle, the things that your strength can meet, the things that your finances can meet, the things that your connections can meet. And as you weigh them off, I want for you to painstakingly look at the things that only God can come through for you on. And tonight, as you meditate on all of those, I want for you to just begin to raise them up to the one who alone is able to give you victory. The one who alone is able to give you that healing. The one who alone is able to pay that bill. The one who alone is able to answer to that confusion. I want for you to just take a moment and just surrender them yet again to the Holy Ghost. As City of David does that song again. As we continually just acknowledge that victory belongs to Jesus. That victory belongs to Jesus. That victory
belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him.
Raffles in the hand, the cathos in the ear. To heal. We return praise to you who alone is able to deliver to the uttermost parts of the earth. We return thanksgiving to you alone who is able, well able, to do that which ordinarily humans have called impossible. We return thanksgiving to you who is able to remove limitations, changer of times and seasons. Thank you for yet again for one tonight you have shown yourself a comforter. For another, Lord, you have shown new ways. For indeed you will make a way. For indeed, Lord, you have made a way. And we just came back tonight, Lord, to just acknowledge your lordship. Let your name alone be exalted in the magnificent name of Jesus. Go on ahead and celebrate Jesus tonight. Thank you, City of David. Celebrate the ministry of City of David. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. We want to welcome all of you that are joining us online on all of our social media handles. Thank you for the privilege to reach you on all of these platforms. We are grateful for the opportunity. And for those of you that are in church that have made it despite all of the inhibitions of high fuel costs, these days as you drive, there is a paucity of vehicles on the road, but you braved it and somehow you are here. I celebrate you. You are a warrior. Let's look at your neighbor, congratulate them and say, welcome to church. Hallelujah. We want to especially appreciate the children's church and their teachers for an amazing Sunday, this last Sunday. Go on ahead and just applaud all of the time, the energy, the sacrifices that went in to make Sunday an amazing Sunday. The children and their teachers were simply outstanding. The Reverend Dr. Edwin Baebo is unavoidably absent tonight, but we celebrate you, sir. We thank you for all that you do. And if you love the Reverend Dr. Edwin Baebo like I do, go on ahead and celebrate him. And in the same token, celebrate Pastor Mrs. Sonia Baebo for all of your prayers, your diligence in the place of ministry. We are grateful. Hallelujah. And tonight, we will just read two portions of scripture in continuation of the conversations that Reverend Dr. Edwin Baebo started on Sunday when he spoke about the manifestation of sons. Today, we'll just look at the imperative of service as it has to do with the manifestation of sons. So if you will kindly stand to your feet. As is our custom, we'll just read these two portions of scripture and we will be well on our way tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 19, part of what we heard on Sunday, and then we'll look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Romans, okay, hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Hallelujah. Okay. Shall we read together? For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Can you still give that to us in the King James Version just for context and variety? Okay. Okay, we don't have that. All right. Okay, beautiful. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Okay, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Okay, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Father, we thank you for the reading and the teaching of your word. Lord, as you give us, as you raise us in the place of understanding, and Lord, and as you set us on the path of revelation, we submit our hearts, our spirits to your teaching tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. And tonight, we're just going to rub minds together. It's School of the Spirit, actually. So, technically speaking, I'm not meant to be preaching at you. Amen. It's meant to be school, so ordinarily, I should have some latitude to probably also ask you questions and get responses. For those of you that were teachers at any point in time, when a teacher does his lesson notes, there's something you call entry behavior. Amen. An entry behavior typically would have a teacher go back to the things that you can safely assume that the pupil, the student, or the scholar, depending on the classification of study that the person is involved in, where you can safely assume that the person already knows or has that background knowledge. And then you take it up from there and begin to introduce new items that may be a bit more complex in dimension. Essentially, entry behavior will be moving from the known to the unknown, from the things that are simple to the things that are a bit more complex. All right, and my engagement this evening essentially is on the more simple things. Hallelujah. I technically didn't come with some very massive revelations as much as I would have wanted to. Today is just the day for small talk. Amen. Tell your neighbor small talk. Hallelujah. And I've learned over my time, both as a human being and as a Christian, that at the end of the day, that little things matter. You know, those little things that you would ordinarily want to believe are not important, assume a place of importance to such an extent that sometimes that portion of scripture that says that the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone becomes a cautionary tale. And the question you begin to ask is, why did the builders reject the stone in the first place? Amen. Why did the builders reject the stone? Why did they consider the stone of no importance? And the reason could most likely be that the stone was flawed. Now, if you've been around building sites where they mold blocks, all right, the expectation is that every block should come out perfect. Fine dimensions, whether it's going to be rectangular, a 6-inch block, a 9-inch block, hollow block, all of them should just be very well carved out. And all of those ones that are broken at the chips and all that, you know, you set them aside. Amen. And scripture says that some of the times, those pieces of block that have been thrown into the place of non-importance eventually return to become the pillars that hold the building. Simple things, flawed things, imperfect things, things that you ordinarily would not pay attention to, sometimes do become the most important things. Tell your neighbor small things. Small things, small things, small things, small things like an election. Small things like an election. And probably just 13, 14 months after a small thing, you have some index of your life has moved from 197 to 1200. If you know, you know, small things. Small things. Small things. On Sunday, Pastor Ed began to talk about the manifestation of sons. And when we begin to talk about manifestation of sons, you know, you begin to have this very hallowed idea that the manifestation of sons is going to be one very dramatic opening ceremony where probably, like you saw recently in Paris, as they were doing all of that Olympic opening ceremony, that it will be grand, massive, powerful, glitz and glamour, lights and trails, you know, all of that gymnastic display. And then suddenly, the sons will manifest, manifestation of sons. Then you know, with loud rolling music. For those of you that grew up in our time, there used to be that circus show, you know, with drums rolling, and then somebody would just drop from the sky. Now that's how you will manifest as a son. You manifest in the small things. Amen. That's why I said I came to talk about small things today. Your manifestation is in the little things. It's not one grand event. It is not one day that is going to come. Your manifestation is actually a daily affair that is embedded in the little things that you do. The little things that you think. The little things that you say. Little things. Little things. Let's have a small conversation around the things that run the world. Talking about little things and manifestation. For those of you that have paid any attention at all to either global economics or global geopolitical power play, especially in Southeast Asia, or as it were, the interference of big economies like probably your United States in the running of certain seemingly smaller countries like a Taiwan, small country. Taiwan ordinarily is a small country. Forgive me tonight. Like I said, I didn't come to do big revelations. There'll be time for that. I just came to have a small conversation. All right. Now, Taiwan ordinarily is a small country. And for those of you who probably did not know, the Taiwanese are actually Chinese. Amen? They are actually Chinese. In fact, as it is historically, the people that have inhabited the island, the enclave that is in modern geography now referred to as Taiwan, was a certain deposed regent from China who fled his homeland, all right, and certain people that went with him, and they formed the small enclave, and the population grew, and they eventually have become a Taiwan. Taiwan. Now, at a point in these climes, we used to associate everything that does not have quality with Taiwan. So if you grew up in the time that I did, if they said something is Taiwan, amen, that means it is what? Most likely 99% fake or substandard or outrightly. You know, that's what you ordered versus what you got picture. Amen? It happens mostly to women. You see a fine shoe on Amazon, you will order for the shoe. Then when it arrives, you will see that it's a small doll baby shoe. What you ordered versus what you got. Okay? Now, back in those days, Taiwan was associated with things that were not of very good quality. Now, several years down the line, Taiwan is now in the centerpiece of geopolitical intrigue. China is threatening to invade China. It's Taiwan, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Small things. Small things. Small things. Thank you, sir. You know, it's always the very brilliant students that sit in front of the class, the ones that correct the lecture. Those of you in the back, anything I say is correct. When I say China invaded China, you will agree. But see, this one's in front, they'll correct you. And then those ones at the College of Professors, they will not correct you instantly. They'll go back and they say, I'm Pastor Obi, you know, with a very spiritual voice. China has been involved in a whole lot of war games and simulations of invasion. Air Force, sea maneuverings, land forces to invade Taiwan. And the United States every time would always come up with the very massive rhetoric, we would defend Taiwan with our life. And the question you keep asking is, how did the Taiwan that before now used to stand for inferior, not very high quality products, now suddenly, as little as it is as a country, small things, is now a matter of contention between two world powers. In fact, the first and the second largest economies globally as it is. And the answer is in small things. What is it that is making Taiwan very powerful? Small things. Anybody knows what the small thing is? Anybody wants to help me? Like I said, this is school of the spirit. Anybody wants to, anybody in the back? Chips. Microchips. Absolutely. Microchips. Taiwan controls about 60% of the microchip industry. What are microchips? Those very small devices. Very small silicon devices. Very small things. All right? There are microchip industries are the most sophisticated globally right now. But here is the thing. Those microchips are what massive nuclear-powered submarines run on. Yes, microchips. Little things. Very little. Some of them are so, in fact, there are nano chips. They are so small that you actually require a microscope to see the chip. But those nano chips run nuclear-powered submarines. They are the things that run a lot of the very high-tech aircraft. Whether they are F-16s, they are stealth bombers, they are B-12s, whatever they are. It is these small chips that runs, for instance, all of the vehicles that Tesla produces. Small chips. So you know the problem? We have a big country like Nigeria that has big things like oil, but we don't control anything. But you have a small country that controls what? A small thing. And they are very powerful. I tell your neighbor small things. Small things. Small things. Now, that is why when scripture begins to say that the earnest expectation of the creature awaited for the manifestation of the sons of God, don't immediately begin to look for the big things. Pay attention, first of all, to the small things. Very small things. And how do the small things become very important? And in answering that question, you answer the question of how an economy like Taiwan's becomes dominant, and how a human being also becomes dominant, and how you as a Christian also progresses in your journey to dominance. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent? Diligent in what he does. Diligent in what he does. Diligent in what he does. Diligent in his business. I want to give you literary freedom to interpret business whichever way you want to. commerce. Don't mind all of the Greek, Hebrew, and all of that. And I can assure you I'm a very good student of that. But for purposes of this entry view, all right, let's look at business very simply. Whatever you do, amen, if you sing in the choir, that is your what? It's a business. What is business? You have something that you can do, which you have groomed to a place of value, so much so that in expressing or transmitting that thing, it adds value to someone else. And most times in exchange, you receive another kind of value. I am very intentionally using the word value because a lot of times what you exchange for value may not necessarily be money. A lot of times when you exchange virtue, you receive grace and anointing. He that giveth to a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall do what? Receive what? A righteous man's. So the question is, what does a righteous man give you? Tough little questions, is it? We'll go back to that. Let's not detract. And he that gives to a prophet, that's the one that we like. Matelikaya, in the name of a prophet, shall receive a prophet's reward. Prophet's reward. So not everybody is running after the prophet's reward. Nobody is looking for the righteous man's reward. Because a lot of times in our estimation, the righteous man is a poor man. So just leave the righteous man. But the prophets, Makaliboya, we chase after the prophets. But the same scripture said righteous man and prophet. But you choose prophets, leave righteous man. But the righteous man has a reward. What took us there? A lot of times when you exchange virtue, you receive another intangible that may be small, but that has the potential to attract larger blessings. Sometimes we call that virtue anointing. Sometimes we call it grace, depending on how the thing is doing you. Amen? You may even call it mantle. But shall you receive something? You receive something. Seest thou a man, and this is using it generically, that is diligent in what he does? So we were saying that if you sing in the choir, for instance, that's a business. That is something you do. If you are a student, your primary business is, how do we speak the English now? Studentship. Your primary business is what? Now, you know why I'm saying that? When we were in school, a lot of students thought that the reason why their parents were paying school fees was for them to be prayer warriors in school because they became born again. Sorry, sir. You know what I mean. Okay? And a lot of them did like extra 2 years praying after some other people have graduated, you know, because they are not able to define priority. Let me tell you point blank, if you're a student here, the primary reason you gained admission into the school, your business in the school, is to submit yourself to be taught. Every other thing supports it. Amen? You are not primarily a prayer. Okay, sorry, let's look for something else. You are not primarily a cultist. Sorry, you're not primarily a primarily. Okay, you went to school. Your primary business is what? School.
Sometimes it's important we lay those foundations. Don't go to school and think that your primary business was that. See, a lot of times when we begin to pray, we lose it because scripture is principled and it will not bend for you. It says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? If time and season has defined your business at that time to be learning, any other business you do that time is outside of obedience. You can quote me, and you will fail woefully. Amen? Absolutely. Your primary business at that time is studying. Every grace, anointing that is supplied to you at that time is for you to do what? Study. And to be successful in that business, which is the primary thing at that point in time. Seest thou a man diligent in what he does? Why are we talking about all this? There are little things like the microchips of the Taiwanese that you pay attention to, and those little things eventually become the tools that control a universe. Little things. However, we may know this, but why is it that a lot of the times we are distracted from the small things and we pay attention to the big things? Because diligence requires, number one, that you believe in that thing which is the primary thing that you're doing. Do you believe in that primary thing you're doing at that point in time? So the first critical qualification for diligence is conviction. Conviction. Conviction to the extent that you believe against every other thing, that every fiber of your being resonates with the fact that this thing that you have at hand now is the thing that you should pay attention to. And that belief is not exogenously inferred. Forgive me, I said I was not going to speak too much grammar this night. Likali brothos the entire. That conviction is not forced on you from outside. That conviction has found a root internally. Because everything you believe, everything you have a conviction about will be tested. Absolutely will be. Every single thing you believe in will be tested. You wake up today and you say, Obi, I love you. I love you. I love you. That your love will be tested. It may not have been. Okay. See, these people here are distracting me. Okay, let's say somebody from this side say, Obi, I love you. Okay. That your love, before you pronounced it, no problem. There will be no test. But immediately you pronounce it, life just has a way of now testing that pronouncement. Amen? So that your love will be tested. Absolutely. And scripture, in trying to explain it, will say to us that your works will be what? Tested. Now, but here's the problem. If it was just going to be tested, then you would say, okay, when this my conviction is tested, I will pass. Anyhow, if you're a good student, you say, okay, I'll pass it by applying myself studiously. If you're not, you could say, okay, I will pass it by applying mbokerekere and co. Sha, anybody will look for how the thing works for them. But it will be tested. But here's the problem. The test does not just stop at the testing. by God's standards, it will be tested by fire. In other words, it will experience the most extreme of tests. Whether it's a job you have taken, you know, a lot of times when you work in a certain place, I wish I was working in the oil industry. If you know what the people working in the oil industry are passing through, you would rather be selling recharge card. Oh, yes. Then sometimes you see the guys that are doing seven motorcade, 21 mopo, mafo. And then somebody like, this my guy, yeah. Gee, you know I love you. Somebody like that, my G, will come and open the door for them. You then you now see DSS with big, big gun like this. Say, hey, I want to be inside moto that is doing wing-wong. Then you now come and say, I want to apply. They will now give you the criteria for admission. Pastor Emeka. You now say, no. I think I want to remain evangelist. Bottom line is that every vocation you have chosen will be tested to the very extremes. Whether it's a job, it's a vocation, it's a marriage. You know those books you read? And Jack met Jill and they fell in love and married and they all lived happily ever after. Nascam. Scam. It will be what? Tested. It will be tested. Absolutely will be tested. In fact, there are some of the tests that when you read scripture in Proverbs, it actually even gives you, in fact, oh dear, let me not go there. Let me leave some of it. In fact, scripture now gives you solution when that kind of test comes. Say, and it begins to suggest to you, first of all, in the same matter in scripture, read your scriptures properly. All right? It will suggest to you, first of all, that if you're in that if you're in that marriage situation and you are passing through some of that test, say that it is better, assuming you live in duplex, because that part in Proverbs was a duplex. If it is better for you to dwell in the rooftop than to try to solve the problem of cantankerous wife. Amen? Said, just relocate to where? Rooftop. Don't quote me. Then he said, just assuming your house does not have rooftop, but you're very close to the desert. Another place in the same proverb said it. Maybe you live near... You live near Tukozala. And you have that test that it is better for you to relocate to the what? Desert place. Now, don't worry. You will solve the problems. It's not your portion. It's not your portion in Jesus' name. Bottom line is that you will be tested. Prepare for it. Amen. I've been around long enough to tell you that sometimes the tests are even more severe because you're a Christian. Hallelujah. Yes. Because some of the simpler escape routes that you would have taken if you were an unbeliever, you are no longer at liberty to take them. So, for instance, you have cantankerous wife. I'm an unbeliever. Slap her now. Just woes I'm 10. But you cannot. Hallelujah. You will now love. And ye husbands, dwell with them. With what? Understanding. So you need to understand. Understand the cantankerosity. understand the mood swing. Understand the billings. Somebody here say billings. Billings. Somebody in the back there that likes that billing part. Dude, don't worry. Billings don't kill. We have survived it. Amen. So sometimes the tests are even more intense because you're a Christian. What's the point? You must believe by yourself that this thing that you want to do, you are willing to do it. Good times, bad times, you're willing to walk this walk. The good times, the bad times, you're willing to weather the storm. The good times, the bad times. That's why the Apostle Paul would say, I have learned how both to be abased and how to do what? Abound. In other words, when the going is good, I am a straight line. When the going is bad, I still maintain my straight line, because a lot of the times, much like the sinusoidal movement of waves, probably in physics, it will go up and it will come down. It will go up and it will come down. That's why the Lord has called himself the changer of times and seasons. If the seasons were always going to be good, there will be no need for a God that changes them. But brethren, alas, sometimes the season is rough. But when you believe. And why is conviction important? Because God will not act, work for you outside of the boundaries of your belief. Outside of the boundaries of your conviction. So Jesus will say to them, O ye of what? Little faith. And then it will go back in to say that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? Power that works not from externally, but from where? The power that works within. So your conviction is what is going to make available to you power to get through those tough periods. So the first thing about the place of diligence is conviction. The second, why is it that anytime I just want to talk, time runs very quick? But when I'm preaching, there's plenty time. I used to finish 10 minutes before time. What's the time now, Pastor Emeka? Sorry? Say? 8 minutes to 7. Okay. We'll close. You know, I didn't come from Dubai. Your violence has no part too. So, apart from conviction, the next is time. Manifestation is not instantaneous. God is not a magician. Even when he had to do with Jesus, what did he say? That the child grew in two things, in wisdom and in stature. Until the day of his what? Manifestation. Manifestation is not an instantaneous thing. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time. That is why Isaiah would say that it is a little here, a little there. It is precept upon precept, line upon line. In your case, it may be prophecy upon prophecy. The prophecy has not manifested instantly. It may not manifest instantly. You must understand that some of the things, some of the very critical qualities which makes God God is called sovereignty. Sovereignty is the right to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, the manner in which you want to do it, the methodology that you choose to do it. So God is sovereign. He can choose to heal a blind Bartimaeus instantly. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus turns and look at him after mercy was invoked and asked him, what wilt thou that I do for you? And he said, that I might see. And instantly blind Bartimaeus saw. That sovereignty. that's instantaneous. Not a problem. Now, but assume that you carry that template and you are the other blind man that met Jesus. And Jesus, first of all, held him by the hands and said, follow me. You will now look at Jesus and say, bros, how they advertise them for Instagram be saying, na, 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 they do them. He said, follow me. And he walked with Jesus. First of all, Jesus had to take him by the hand and establish relationship. For some of you, manifestation will not come until there's relationship. Took him by the hand and then began to reveal to him in stages. So first of all, spit on the ground. His word mixed it to the ground. The very essential things that man was made with, in other words, reconnected him back to his... Let's not go there. I said I was not going to do preaching something. Okay? He just rubbed potter potter on the guy eye. And as if, quote and unquote, the insult was not enough. I mean, one guy, you just spoke to him decent, neat, and the thing had, the miracle had tease and panache. Hallelujah. The miracle was demure and mindful. Libo kataya. The miracle was just straightforward. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Just turned. So what would thou that I do for you? Said that I might see. And see, say see. And the guy see. Then you now came and you were expecting the same template. But this God is sovereign. And he now rubs potter potter on your eyes. Some of you would have left church. You will not wait for any manifestation. So now they can damn me, honey. Take one of pastor's anointing. In fact, some time ago when my sojourn took me through Abba, there was that powerful man of God. You will know him, man of God. Jehovah Sharp Sharp. Okay, Pastor Kachi, you don't know him. Ozubo Ozubo Ministries. God does not run Ozubo Ozubo Ministries. Took the guy first, rubbed potter potter on his eyes. Potter potter, the thing was smelling. Sometimes the thing God takes you through are not nice. Part of diligence, which it comes from conviction, is to be willing to take those times that are not nice. And on top of it, Jesus had the temerity to... Jesus knows all things. You know I'm not seeing. And you're still asking me, bros, do they see? No, hold on. Do you think Jesus knew he was not seeing? Hallelujah. The school of the word. That time he robbed the first potter potter. Did Jesus not know that the guy cannot see? Pastor Kachi. He knew the guy cannot see, but he still asked him. And the guy said, sir. You know, he had to say sir so that he would respect. Say rabbi. Rabboni. I no see anything. See, the second thing, which is part of the things that time will teach you, accept the reality of the situation as it is then. Abraham had faith, but faith did not mean a non-acceptance of the situation as is. If Jesus asks you, can you see? Don't form that you can see. You can't form for him. Hallelujah. You show up in church and you're forming steez and composure, but you're broke as a muskrat. Can't be church rat. The rats in church these days, they have money. Don't form. Hallelujah. Say, Lord. So everybody's just praying. You just say, Lord, so that your neighbor will not think that you don't have money. You want to impress your neighbor. So as you're praying the thing in English, Lord, I just want for you to beef up my finances. What are they be? Jesus asked, can you see? He said, I cannot see. Just tell him, Lord, Ejim Shishi. Which one is Libro Cathosi entire, Lord, will you beef up my finances? No, who gave me rigaho? Why you told it? I cannot see. Lord, Ejim Shishi. Mere mebere. Bottom line, do not live in denial of the truth and the reality of the circumstance. You cannot see. Tell Jesus you cannot see. He will return again because he is faithful who has started a good work to do what? Perfect it. He will not leave until he has finished what he has started. And sometimes that finishing takes time. Sometimes it takes time. I will stop at conviction and time because of time. We will speak again some other time. I want you to stand to your feet tonight. And I want for you, I don't know what your life journey is about. I don't know what stage you are in that life journey. But the God that you have believed in, he doesn't take you halfway down the road to desert you. He has not brought you this far to let you down. You will come to the place of manifestation. God will perfect the thing that he has started. It may be a healing that he has started, he will finish it. It could be an academic journey he has started with you, he will finish it. It could be a marriage he has started, he would finish it. Our God is a God of completion. And he is able, more than able. Somebody help me. And please, what concerns me today? Oh, he is able, more than able.
Yeah.
Oh, to handle everything that comes my way. Oh, he is able. Tonight, that for every work that you have started, you will finish it. Lord, we submit ourselves, much like the pot in the hand of the potter, to finish this work that you have started, that the glory might be yours and not of any man, in the name of Jesus. And amen.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.